Welcome to the Beaver Creek Christian Church Podcast. This is the audio archive of our migration to a missional movement. We do this weekly to come alongside you as we take this journey together, because we want you to always remember, we're on the journey with you.
Hi, everybody. We are back with the BCC Podcast, and we're here with Ning Peel, who you know has helped start and drives the ministry that's done here at BCC with the refugee population, and she has been doing this for years. I've been sitting here listening already to stories that are just awesome, and so we're just gonna have a conversation about how this got started and why she does this, and even how you guys can help. So, Ning, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Stu.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I really already enjoyed our conversation. So, so you have been doing this for a long time here at BCC, right?
Yes.
How did you get started? You know, how did you get started working with refugees? You said that it wasn't here at Dayton first. You and Pete had been doing this when he was in the Air Force.
Yes. Mm-hmm. First of all, thank you for tricking me into coming today. And as you know, I'm always like the behind the scene. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate it so much, because I think what you're doing today is might help more of the children around Dayton in our community.
Yeah.
First of all, Pete and I have been together for 34 years. And because of the military, God and military is big in our family.
That's awesome.
And so no matter where the military send us, you know, every base we've gone to, you know, there we've always come across any refugees from either Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, and of course myself. I was born in Thailand, and I've experienced refugees there also, where my village between the border of Laos and Thailand. Yeah. And so I don't think Pete realized who he's getting married to, but I didn't realize what God and the military would be blessing Pete and I with. So no matter where we've gone with the militaries, we've always meet refugees' friends from all over the world, you know, based on where the base is at. Mm-hmm. So if we were in Alaska, most refugees there are from Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, and so forth, you know. And if you were in California, again, another big populations of Laos and so forth. So based on, most military families will know and understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what base you go to, there's many refugees.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, my dad lived in El Paso, and he was in the Army. And, yeah, lots of obvious Mexican refugees or Mexican immigrants in there. But, yeah.
Still, you have to agree, with God and the militaries, our refugees are being cared for and love.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
So without all the churches, I don't know where, how, you know. But I think most help come from that, the churches.
That's cool. So obviously you moved to Dayton. How'd you get started working with refugees in Dayton?
Well, again, the military brought us to Wright-Patt Air Force Base 19 years ago. And, of course, Pete always, if you ask my children, they'll say, Dad's always gone. Mom is the one that helped raise us. And until this day, he's still gone a lot. But that's okay, because we already know, you know, what life with the military is, and we love it.
Yeah, we love it.
You know, there's, you know. So when we moved here, we start looking for church, you know, for our children, mainly for children. We figure Pete and I can get involved anywhere.
Yeah.
And we found a third place was BCC.
Okay.
And because our children was, you know, enjoy what Dan and Randy was working back then. And so we stayed. And we remember meeting Jan and Jerry, Jerry approached us and said, hi, welcome.
Yeah.
We're thinking about, you know, starting back up a Bible study home group at our home. Would you be interested?
Yeah.
Well, I think when we first started, Pete was traveling a lot, so it was just myself bringing the kids to church. And I remember sitting in the back left side of the sanctuary, and there was four single ladies always sitting there.
Yeah.
I thought they were single, and they probably thought I was single too. But really, we're married. Our husbands travel for work often. That's yeah. all, you know. So when Jerry approached us, we were like, okay, you know. And so we started to attend Jerry and Jan's home group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love badminton and tennis. And I, you know, I was like, gosh, I miss badminton. And I noticed that BCC gym wasn't being used on Friday nights
yeah.
and certain Friday nights. So I approached church secretary Pam Powers and said, hey, can our home group use it for badminton nights?
Yeah.
And, you know, we just want to gather, you know. And, of course, they said, absolutely. And so we decided to have badminton night, exercise night.
Yeah.
And then the BCC had a women ministry, and Pam says, you know, we should do like badminton and Zumba. It's like, okay, Friday night. So now we're like, okay, Friday nights was our thing now. So next thing you know, our home group was doing badminton nights, and we have fun. We bring food. You know, when a group get together, yeah, especially
yeah.
women,
yeah.
we would have food. We're talking about food. I don't yeah. know about men's night, but women's night.
That's a lot of meat, but other than that.
yeah. Women's night, we would have everything. Yeah, like, yeah. you name it from, oh my goodness, food was everywhere.
Yeah.
And so that's how badminton night started at BCC.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. So how'd you get the kids? I mean, so that sounds like your home group, right? So the
home group and then women.
And then
like,
women.
You know,
yeah.
like home group on Friday nights. And then the women ministry is on another Friday nights. And the women, we were just trying to exercise so we would look good for the summer.
Yeah, if, right.
You know,
yeah.
so.
So then you invited, you started inviting refugee kids. You guys were already working with some refugee kids.
Right. We were working with some. Not just refugees. We were working. We have a good friend named Cheryl and Alan, and she was working with a ministry called Share 1-to-1.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And for which Share 1-to-1 was also connected to Karen Murphy, who is also helping with the community in Xenia with the children, no matter what nationality,
okay,
with
yeah.
families in need in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's how we were, like, helping around and just no matter what, you know. And I'm sure there's many other women that team, but no
yeah.
matter what, it was just kind of connected, you
right.
know. It was teaming up. It was like God's team, churches connecting together to
yeah.
attack whatever
right.
comes along.
Yeah, needs. After it, yeah.
Well, Nathan, when you were asking me how did we started to help more refugees,
yeah.
Nathan Curley, he knew that we were helping families
uh-huh.
and helping different people. And Nathan Curley, back then, he was a police.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he was a patrolman. He wasn't a detective
yeah.
yet. Yeah, yeah.
And I guess he came across a call one night where there were 17 Colombian refugees that had just welcome to America at 11 p.m. at night. So the next morning, they were so excited to walk down Xenia Avenue, not too far from Target Church.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and next thing you know, they were approached. I don't know. What's a polite word, Stu?
I think mugged, robbed.
Oh, okay. Robbed. All right. Polite words. Okay. All right. You think that word was okay. They were robbed at gunpoint, I believe.
Yeah.
And it shocked them. They all ran back to their home,
yeah.
and they wouldn't come out. And so Nathan can see and sense the afraid, you know, in their faces, and you know.
Yeah, they were leaving Colombia, probably thinking they were getting away from all that, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
And so next thing you know, he approached me at a badminton night one night
yeah.
and said, "Hey, this happened. Can you?" To this group, you know, and children and everything, would you be able to just kind of come and welcome them so that they know that Dayton is a welcoming place and
yeah.
we are all friendly, you know? And I said, absolutely. At first, it wasn't really absolutely, Stu. It was like, I don't speak
sort
their
of,
language,
yeah.
Nathan. And he's like, I'll come with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I thought Nathan speak the language,
right.
okay?
Yeah.
When he said, I'll come and take you. So here we are. I have fruit baskets for
mm-hmm.
them. And then we went, and here comes Nathan and Ning, right?
Yeah.
You know what Nathan looks like, and you know
yeah.
what I look like.
Yeah.
Okay. So we go on Xenia Avenue between two apartments, alley, you know. And,
yeah.
And Nathan greeted them. Hi, how are you? Do you remember me? This is all happening in the alley.
Okay? Yeah.
Do you remember me? I am that policeman that, you know, helped you. And at first they were like kind of scared of us, I think, because they didn't speak the language. I think two people might understand a little. But Nathan had to do a lot of hand movements, body language. I can still picture him. And then he said, this is my friend Ning, Miss Ning.
Yeah.
And here I was standing there, not understanding any Spanish, and with fruit baskets. And I said, welcome to Dayton. Handed them the fruit baskets. And you know, through food, I can see them a little bit lightly, like, thank you.
This
you
is a nice lady with the fruit. This is good.
Yes. Yeah. And then here's Nathan, you know. And we did our best with our body language, with our smile, with our fruit baskets. I think we got through them with a little smile. But there was something in our heart, my heart still, that night. I went home and I said to my husband, I didn't know how to speak. I can't help them, honey. I can't, you know. And my husband said, honey, God will never send you something that he doesn't think you can handle. Can you please call BCC, call Pam, and see, or call somebody, or maybe like at a home group, Wayne and Fina. Fina can speak Spanish. How about Trent? Trent's wife, Lily, she can speak Spanish. Ask them for help. So I was like, oh, okay.
There you go.
You know? So I'm like, all right. Call the ladies, and the lady was like, absolutely. The next, they were like, can we go tomorrow? The next day, I was like, yes. So we went the next day. I'm like, all right, I have these two. We went, knock on the door, and I said, hi, do you remember me? I'm Miss Ning. I brought my friends. This is Miss Fina. This is Miss Lily. And under my breath, I'm like, go, girls. Yeah, you know, like, right. And then I remember when the lady says hello to them in their language, in their mother tongues.
Yeah.
I saw their faces. It was like when I was there, they just had that fake smile, you know. But when the minute Lily and Fina said hello in their language, it was like they all ran and hugged Fina and Lily and left me in the dust. Like I was just standing in the back witnessing all these, you know, it was like amazing.
That's so really cool.
Here comes my camera. I had to take pictures. I was like,
so is that when the picture taking started?
No, it was time
before. It was long time before that.
that was when Ning didn't have, Ning had a flip phone.
Okay.
And I didn't have a nice phone like nowadays. Yeah. But back then, flip phone didn't take pictures.
Yeah, right.
I just had a normal camera, you know. But I think my husband and my family probably going, man, I wish we'd never introduce her to these phones where they have cameras now. So, but I got to see two angels come to help. Well, first, Nathan Curley was the main angel.
Right.
And then next, it was these two.
Yeah.
And then later on, it was Janine Genesta because she too speaks
Spanish. Oh, yeah, she speaks Spanish also,
We wheel her in too.
Yeah.
And then, and I watched the relationship between those three ladies connected with, you know, I'm just thinking back in my head now, picturing it all. And their relationships with these families are now, and till this day still, relationship.
Right.
You know, so, and that's how how we met the Colombians. But through the Colombians, I think it was another blessing, you know, months later, the families and the children saw how friendly Janine, Lily and Fina and myself and many that comes to BCC help them. And they feel comfortable enough to maybe share.
Right.
You
so
know,
sharing
some needs
their life.
Some personal issues.
And
then, of course, they share. And through that, when they go to school, you know, they help their friends with any issues or problems or needs also.
Yeah.
So how I end up connecting the badminton nights and the refugees in Dayton
right.
was some of the children many times, different ones, have asked me questions. One would ask, what is spending the night mean? One would ask, what is Fairfield Common Mall?
Yeah.
But back then, if you remember, there was no the green.
No
the
green or anything.
No, the
yeah.
green wasn't right. there. It was just Fairfield Common mm-hmm. Mall or Dayton Mall, right?
Right, right.
And some kids would come and say, what's bowling?
Mm.
Some kids would come and say, what is, like, just getting together.
Yeah, parties, hanging out.
Hanging
yeah.
out. Yeah. And my questions to all those kids when they ask is, did somebody ask you?
Right.
And all of their answers would be, no, we just heard them talk. Like one particular, she said, oh, no, I just heard them high-five each other saying that, you know, let's spend the night tonight and, you know, we can do whatever, hang out and all this. And they high-five each other when they leave out of school door.
Mm.
And though I asked the young lady, what did you do? Oh, I just got my backpack and walked home.
Yeah.
And so my heart, and I think, you know, many of my friends' heart
yeah.
were like, man. And so my friends and I said, well, we can have them over for having some food with us on Fridays
right.
when we hang out, you know, at the badminton nights. And I said, are you sure? Yeah, good idea. I said, okay. So I go pick them up.
Yeah.
And I asked the church again, can I please borrow the red van? It has 15 passenger mm-hmm. seats.
Yeah.
And the church said, oh, yes, uh-huh, sure. But I'm sure first they have to check on my driving, you know, like if I have tickets or accidents or, like, you know, like I have lived being from Thailand, which is Asian. I have lived through the words that Asian drivers from, you know, many people, especially with my husband.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure they had to check up on me.
Yeah.
But then when they realized, okay. And then, of course, I had to ask their parents' permission
and
their parents' permission for safety. Yes, you know.
Right.
So that was our first encounter, badminton night. So I brought them. They had fun. They eat.
Yeah.
They had fun. And I think what happened from that was a couple of times, you know, they go back and they,
mm-hmm.
their friend says, you know, like they high five each other and say, see you at badminton.
Yeah.
And so some other refugees are like, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is
that? And instead of not telling them, they invited them. That's, oh yeah,
yeah,
I see it. Yeah.
And so next thing you know, my 15 passenger, there were 17 refugees already, right?
Yeah.
I'm bringing 17.
Yeah,
okay.
In a 15 passenger van, right?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Still, I had some other pickup, like Lily and Fina pick up the others I had. And then we would come. And so now I'm like, well, what am I going to do? There's more kids.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, if you ask me how did the badminton night start
right.
with the families, that's how it got started.
Yeah.
With the
and it just,
refugees.
It's exploded since then. Like,
well,
like every time I've shown up, like there's like tons of people here.
Well, I think it wasn't our doing. I think it's all God's.
Yeah.
Doing. He had planned. He had,
yeah.
He had planned in it that we did not know about this. You know, we didn't have a name for it. It was
mm-hmm.
just hanging out.
Right.
At badminton nights.
Yeah.
We didn't have a name, but I think God has always had this mission name, label it as a mission, showing God's love. Or maybe it's a mission. I don't know. I don't know what he has planned, but I know it's his. It's not ours. It's not what we are doing. It's his plan.
You're just being the flesh of Jesus. I mean, you're just being the body, the hands and feet of Jesus.
Myself and
everybody who helps.
It's not, I mean, if that's how you want to look at it, I think it's like he had this planet and we didn't know. We were just doing our women thing, you know, and we were just doing whatever.
I
think it's all his doing.
Right.
So.
That's so cool. That's because you just did something to meet a simple need, and all of a sudden God just begins to grow it and multiply it and make it bigger than you can handle at times. I've seen. I mean,
yes, yeah. And Stu, I like I said, I don't know how to thank BCC for, like, you know, I ask, hey, can I just borrow this van? You know,
yeah.
and start from that. And then now it's not just can I borrow one van, it's now I borrow three
right.
full. And thank you God for many godly men that had come along and saw the needs and had, am I allowed to say the name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, it started with Bob Ritter, Wayne Stigall, and many others that had come along. But Bob Ritter asked me this question, you know, if many of you know him, the way he talks, you know, it's like he makes it sound like it was so easy.
Yeah.
So he says, "Hey Ning, why can't we bus them in from Dayton to Beaver Creek?" Okay, Stu, when somebody say that to you, does that sound simple?
It does.
No, it doesn't to me.
I can hear Bob saying it, making me feel like it was simple. Yeah, why don't we just go do that?
Yeah, and I'm like, "Bob, what do you mean? I would need a bus driver. I would need..." He goes, "I'll do it." "Oh, is that what you mean? Okay, yeah." He goes, "And I'll get some other guys to do it too."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, okay." He goes, "How many bus drivers do you need?"
Yeah.
And I'm still like, this is not simple, Bob. Mm-hmm. You want me to go and bus. We're not RTA. You know, we're not Dayton RTA.
Yeah.
And you want me to go and bus from Dayton. Do you know how big Dayton is? And bring it to Beaver Creek?
Yeah.
Okay. You know. So I went along with Bob. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I thought he would do it one or two times and he'd stop. This is a... Third year
doing it, yeah.
But this is just for badminton.
Yeah.
Bob was doing before that for the Colombians. I needed a driver to come to church.
Yeah.
Back 8 years, 9 years ago.
Okay.
A long time. He was one of the ones that volunteered to drive them to church because he saw there was a need. It was important to bring them to church.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, okay." So we had a list. I think Janine was the one that started the list. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we get them to church?
Right.
And so she started, and Bob volunteered. And there was many other volunteers, you know, that go on there. But I think that's what for badminton, that's what it did. It was like Bob was saying, you know, he makes it sound simple. So I'm like, okay, I'll go along, you know. So I went along. 3 years later, 4 years later, we're still going along.
Right, right.
And we're still going. So so it was meant to be, I think.
Yeah, so cool. See,
so now when you were saying you don't know, you've been here a few times and all that, and you saw how many, we can range anywhere from, with busing in alone, it's over 120, around 120 busing alone. But that's not including how, like myself, you know, I now have a minivan. I don't even have kids, but now I have grandkids. But when I had the minivans back then, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, it was donated to me from a family friend. When my mother passed away, they were like, they wanted to donate because they saw there was a need, and they couldn't do it because they live in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, "We have this van just parking in the driveway.
Yeah.
Your mother talked about it before she died so much. Since you're here for her funeral, can you drive the van back?"
Oh, wow.
I was like, "What? I'm attending my mom's funeral, and I am like somebody, you know." So I was like, "Yes." Yeah. So we drove the van back, you know, and that's how we got the additional. Now that van can seat 8.
Okay.
You know, so
yeah,
the bus, and then Bob, of course, I don't know how he did it. He managed to talk the other drivers to do not one trip, two trips a night. That means the last trip, the drivers would get back at midnight back to the church.
Yeah.
After they drop off all the 2 trips each.
Yeah.
So to me, that's how it starts, and it's still going because of people like yourself or like Bob or like Marisa. Marisa is another one.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. She just came in and said, "I think you have a need." And I said, "Sure. This, I want to have kids come." And I mean, she see that, you know, nothing was organized. I was not organized.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not organized.
But this was God moving, and you're just trying to keep up with him. I mean,
I was not organized. And she says, "Why don't you let me and our team take over the food, the cleaning up, setting up, and you concentrate on the children and maybe get them here. That take off the load of you going pick them up, cook the food, feed them, take them home, cleaning up the church, everything."
Yeah.
I was like, "Are you sure?"
Yeah.
And then again, back then, many years ago, I thought it was just temporary. She's still doing it.
Yeah.
So that's another blessing. So I went from an unorganized person to when people look at me now, they think I'm organized.
Right.
But it's not me. It's the people that are doing it.
That's so cool.
That make me think I am organized.
Right. They keep you organized, right? That's the way. Oh, I understand that. That's so good.
So I don't even know how to thank them all other than it is not me. It's God has this plan that I didn't know. I just do it.
That's good.
So so now we're, we're probably anywhere from 120 or more.
Mm-hmm.
On a family badminton night.
Yeah.
And we don't just, like, keep a limit to just who comes on the bus. If you can drive and have family come, absolutely. All your families are welcome. We do have that. We have families come that you know, that enjoy coming to play badminton, exercise. As a matter of fact, before we have more families, refugees families, we were helping many exchange students from Wright State University, from Cedarville, from UD, from Sinclair, wherever the children, you know, like from China, they're here for exchange students, from Korea, from you name it, Nepal, from it was all international exchange students. They were used to come before the refugees.
Right.
That was big for that, you know.
So now, though, you don't just do badminton. I know the basketball happens.
Okay. My heart hurts right now when you say that because.
Yeah, of course.
I love capital L badminton.
Yeah.
But the children and the volunteer says, hey, we really love soccer and basketball. Well, BCC doesn't have soccer.
Yeah.
BCC doesn't have, you know, big enough for my badminton and basketball. You know, their basketball. I call it my badminton. Their basketball. You know, we have one gym because BCC, I have come to see BCC as a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
19 years I've been to Dayton. 18 years I've been at BCC Church. I see BCC as a Band-Aid, not just for refugees, for many needs.
Yeah.
We help people. You all know that when you go and try to apply for food stamps or for help with anything, it's paperwork, which is fine. That's a policy.
Right.
That's, you know, otherwise everybody would be doing. But, you know, we appreciate them so much.
Sure.
But those paper, sometimes you won't get it. The food or the help. Until like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, right?
Right.
You know that, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So.
It's a complex system.
I have seen that BCC, when they hear that this family applied, but they say that Job Center said that it's going to be 2 weeks, or Catholic Social Services says we don't have it yet, you know, BCC would just say, here, let's go get food. Enough for, how long did they say that they get it? 2 weeks. Okay. BCC would like Band-Aid.
Two weeks for the food.
You know, and I'm sure other churches are doing it too.
Sure. Yeah.
I know, but I only know about BCC.
Right. And you know what we're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, but I know other churches are doing it too. And I'm sure this is the same story. This story is probably the same for every church too.
Yeah. So you help with food. I know you guys help with furniture when new families come in. You even help them find places to stay when they need it. And on badminton night, you're not just doing games either. You're also doing English. You've done English classes, and you've done and you have like a children's program ish, like where you do. I know you do you know, like lessons at times, and you play games and stuff like that. This is a big. There's a big endeavor here, right?
And I feel like I feel so bad because I feel like. You know, BCC is trying so hard to help with what they have, the building size that they have, you know. We have taken over 4 rooms now, not including the gym, the main sanctuary. We have taken the cafeteria for where the food is. We have taken the gym for all the exercise. Then, of course, upstairs, they open upstairs doors for us. One room is for the children ministry, which means, like, you know, like when the children shouldn't be in the gym because they can get hurt. So we were like, we got to find something.
Yeah.
We took the hallway and turned that into a little baby daycare section. We took the upstairs room and turned it into the kids from age 3 to 10, I believe they said. And the helpers for that didn't come from just BCC.
Mm-hmm.
They have come from CLC, Hillside Church, Grace Church, Oh my gosh.
Cedarville
University.
Yeah.
I am so sorry if I lift out some of you guys' churches, but Mason Church, I mean, like, because it's been, okay, I'm going to be 53 this year. My mind is going away. So there's so many churches that have come and pitch in with the children program because they realize that, you're right, the little one can't be in the gym.
Yeah.
And the mom, when they have babies, this is their night to enjoy each other, you know, conversations and hanging out, too.
Yeah.
But how are they going to do that? They have to carry the baby on their hip. So the Cedarville University and the volunteers use our table and then hang out with the babies so that the moms can enjoy the eating and just have that 1 hour or two to hang out together. And then you go upstairs and they take the 3-year-old and the 10-year-old and just have fun with them, but also show them who loves them, which is God and His people. And so that's going on upstairs. And then the volunteers are from different churches, and so they're having fun. And then another blessing, Tracy and Darren, they donated. I was going to go buy a drum set. They donated music. Bill donated music instruments. Now the children have a music time. They can just create whatever, their own bands or whatever.
Yeah.
And then another room started many years ago was a Amy's daughter was like, can we, you, Miss Neem, you know the children, you always tell us that children need to learn how to read and do math. We have these books donated to us from the fire departments or something like that. I can't remember. From the libraries. They started a room with the books and libraries books for the children to read, and the children were reading, and they were getting rewards from the how much they can read. That helped. I heard from the school, what are you guys doing? Because the children are reading pretty good, you know? And we're like, oh, I don't know what they're doing. I can go, I just go take pictures. But, you know, this is what they're doing to for some families.
Yeah.
And so that also reflects at school, too. And then families, you know, jobs at the factories, the supervisor said, you know, I wish they could speak to us. So I come up with this, all right, let's learn how to conversation English. And then you have volunteers again and was helping. And then another one would be, we're scared, we need to study for our citizenship. Okay, of course, here we go.
Yeah.
Another team jump in. So no matter what, anything that they request, BCC Band-Aid.
Yeah.
For the needs at that time.
Yeah.
And again, I think many churches are doing that too.
Sure.
But again, I am only sharing
what we
know, what I know.
So how can we help? What kind of help do you need right now?
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but
lately my heart has been praying for help with, well, I think there's about 8 families that would like to come to badminton, family badminton nights, but we don't have transportations.
So you're all full up and there's no way. Yeah.
There's just no way. There is one way. And I have talked to the drivers, the boss at the drivers, and they are like, that mean we have to leave this family to pick up new families? And I'm like, yeah. And I mean, they too, they understand. They just say, man, I wish that we have on more ways to bring them. So if you ask me, how can anyone help? If you have free time, you don't have to come and hang out with them, but we would love it because that's what the relationship, showing God's love, being his hands and feet are for children. There's many different ways to serve, believe me, around our communities, many, many. But we're just talking about this one needs right now is that if you can drive or you have a car that's big enough, if you can pick up some families, some kids for us, bring them here. The Marisa and her team trying to have the food ready and hot meal ready, serve exactly on the dot at 7:30.
Okay.
She will start praying at 7:30.
Yeah.
And when after she's done praying for the food, bless the food, we're eating.
Right.
And if you come late,
you might get cold food or no food.
So, after she prayed, that's it.
Yeah.
So, if you can bring them 7 o'clock, Marisa's and her team are always here at 6:30. Mm-hmm. So if you, like, you know, drop them off and go on and have your date nights mm-hmm. or have fun, go to movies and come back at 10 or 11 to pick them up,
yeah.
to take them home, that works for us.
Yeah.
And we know that 8 families or more did not get left behind.
That's awesome.
So if you have time, that would be the biggest need that we have right now. Or if you can cook too.
There you go.
If you want to bring food.
Bring more food.
Between food and friendships, what else can you ask for?
Awesome. Well, Neen, thanks for being here. We could spend probably the next day talking more about stories and things that have happened here. Thanks again for being here and letting us know how this started. I was even curious. There were some pieces of it that I didn't know all the parts of, and it was really cool. And we realized that we're not doing this by ourselves, that God is driving this, that we're all working together and that we're making this happen because this is something God's led us into. So thanks again for being here. And thank you everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.